Thanks for joining us today on Community Matters. It's a service of Lakeview Ford Lincoln, downtown Battle Creek, Dickman at Washington. You hear us Saturdays on WBCK and anytime at battlecreekpodcast.com. I'm Richard Pyatt. Well, there is some excellent news coming to Kellogg Community College in particular as it relates to the EMS workforce. The attempts that are being made to educate new paramedics and guide them to a career, a very rewarding career, I would say. And here to talk a little bit about that and how this is all coming together is Clark Imus. He coordinates the EMS education program at KCC. Hello, Clark.
Richard, thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about our opportunities with the EMS workforce grant that we have.
Well, thank you. This is not the first time you've received this grant, is it?
No, we've actually received a total of $775,000 over the last fiscal year.
Oh, my. Yeah,
quite a bit. $700,000, which includes this current $350,000 grant was set aside for paramedic training specifically. And we've been able to offer a total, including the current grant, of about 38 full ride scholarships in the sum of $15,000 each student. Really get all those guys to come up and to help fill some of the workforce gaps that exist in the EMS system, not only here in Calhoun County and in Battle Creek, but throughout the state of Michigan as a whole.
Yeah, these are state grants, right?
Yeah. So they come through the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the EMS and Trauma Bureau. And their real big focus right now is to try to fill the short gap of EMS workers. Right now in the state of Michigan, if you look at the michigan.gov/EMS, there are statistics on the workforce shortage. There's currently over 1,000 open positions in the state of Michigan for paramedics.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
Just at the highest level. Yeah. And what that means is there's 500 ambulances in the state that are sitting empty because no one can sit in them. You know, historically, you look at a response time in the United States, about 7 minutes from the time you called 911 till advanced life support reached you. In some areas, it can take up to 45 minutes now.
This is a
huge deal of trying to revitalize this need, this industry, which you're absolutely right. It's extremely rewarding. It's a job where no day is the same. It does take a certain individual because, you know, our every day is a patient's worst day. And so we have to be able to be prepared to deal with that stress. But there's nothing better than being able to deliver a baby and bring life into this world. Or if it is to help someone finally reach peace as at the end of their hospice stages, if they're passing away. So, and our program allows for us to really train folks up to the highest level that we possibly can. We got a ton of resources here at KCC to help students be successful.
Well, that's a pretty startling statistic. 500 ambulances sitting idle because there aren't enough personnel to operate them. Just let that sink in for a second, and you begin to understand why the state is trying to stimulate this interest. You talked about this being a certain person that fits into this profession. Would you call that a calling?
I would. I think that there's a call for service. I don't think it has to be a call for blood and guts and gore. I think sometimes folks think of that of EMS. That's not really that's not truly the industry. But there's a lot of reward in it. I mean, you really do get to make a difference in someone's life every single day. And that impact you have is going to go much further than you anticipate. I mean, you're going to see so many patients in your career that it definitely helps you to be able to do that. And our grant is going to help get folks that are wanting to take that next step to become that paramedic to help us eliminate some of those barriers. College is not cheap. You know, KCC is an affordable place to go to school. I'm a graduate of KCC's program. I bleed blue and silver. But the concept of this is really important that we've got to make sure that we give opportunities to revitalize, to get people up to this. You know, COVID was an experience that really pulled back the curtain of what the healthcare system is. And it really kind of exposed a lot of the inner workings and a lot of the system issues because of COVID that kind of came out because of it. And folks have been less likely to get into healthcare because of that.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And I related to that, I'm wondering, are folks in the current workforce stressed more because of the shortages?
Yeah. And so, yeah, because, you know, it, like I said, it's a call to service. So when an emergency happens, we're going to step up and assist. And if there's a lack of personnel, that means that there's going to be overtime or mandatory overtime where we're going to have to go in and be able to pick up the slack where it exists. And you can only do that for so long because the system isn't designed to do that. You know, high stress, high frequency calls, that taxes the provider quite a bit. So we've got to get those provider numbers back up so we can ensure the quality and the consistency of the care is there and that folks aren't getting burnout either.
Obviously, one of the barriers that might exist or perceived barrier is the notion of cost. So this removes that for a number of folks, but this does mean you have to find those folks who want to respond to this calling. How do you do that?
Absolutely. So it's not an easy call. We're going to be looking for current EMTs, licensed EMTs that are working in the field who want to upgrade. So that's a very specific population that we have to reach. We also have to think about how our program is set up. If we were to do a 5-day a week, 8-hour a day, you know, program, that's not going to work for working adults. That's not going to work for individuals. So we have to be conscious of that. We also are really focusing on additional barriers. Cost is a big portion of getting students in, but there's a bigger problem of retention once they're in. How do we eliminate barriers to keep them in and make sure that this grant will also not only reduce the cost of the barrier of cost, but also other aspects? So the grant includes things like a financial stipend. Each student gets $1,250 for whatever they might need, whether it's tires for their car, gas to get to and from a clinical site, uniforms, childcare. There's a number of resources that are available for that. And then we also have included funding for what we call an EMS success coach. This is an individual that's a retired EMS provider, been with us for a very long time here at the college, Brent Cornwell, well-known throughout the county. But he easily goes through and he can help the students organize their school and life balance. It's not a tutor necessarily, but it's keeping things focused of, are you scheduling enough time for studying? Are you scheduling your clinical rotations? Are you working too much? Those types of things to help balance that out, because that leads to retention, which leads to completion. And that's what we need to make sure we're hitting, is not just getting folks in to start the program, but making sure that they can start, they're supported, and that they can properly complete.
Yeah, the mentor kind of relationship that helps continue to be motivated and face the rigors of balancing all of that.
Absolutely.
Talk about what they really get on the other end of this. So the certificate program itself, what does that mean once they've completed it?
Yeah, so there's a couple layers to this onion. The first is that you're going to have college credit and be able to participate in earning a college certificate because of enrolling at KCC. The other aspect of that is by earning that certificate, you're eligible to sit for the National Registry of Emergency Medical Technicians board exam. And that's going to allow for you to become nationally certified so that way you can travel really anywhere within the United States with that credential. So the students are going to have some autonomy to decide where they want to go. And then the last portion of that is that they're also going to be able to earn a state license in Michigan, which will then allow for them to practice medicine. We also embed certifications that are required for employment. So when they graduate, they're employer ready. So that includes an updated basic life support CPR card, advanced cardiac life support, pediatric advanced life support, and pre-hospital trauma life support. All those are separate credentials that we stack on at the end while they're performing their internship. And that's what kind of culminates to that point. It does take 15 months. It is the skill set of a paramedic equates to that of an RN, or I oftentimes will say we bring the emergency room to the patient. So it's a very strong skill set that the student has to be able to possess, because you're doing a lot of critical interventions in a setting that is not conducive, right? Upside down in a car at night when it's raining is much harder to start an IV than in an emergency room.
Oh, my. Yeah, think about that. So what kind of a person are you looking for? You just began just now to allude to that, the idea that there is a certain set of skills that comes in a person that helps meet this certification, doesn't it? And tend to that patient upside down in the rain.
That's just it, because it does take a certain individual. I mean, it's not EMS is not something that if you get frustrated, you can walk away from. You're there until the call is done. And so that does require certain professional attributes. Some of the key things that we look for in our students is going to be integrity, making sure that you're doing the right thing when no one's looking, because you're not being supervised directly. You're working independently with a team. So that's important. We also look for other aspects, including things like teamwork and diplomacy, leadership skills, conflict resolution skills. You know, I always tell students that EMS is a team sport. You know, one person can't save someone's life on their own. It takes a whole team to row the boat to make sure it gets to where it needs to. And so folks have to be definitely team oriented, and they also have to be willing to stand on level ground. What I mean by that is, you know, there's oftentimes a hierarchy in medicine. Physicians are at the top, maybe paramedics, and then EMTs are below them. But when it comes to patient safety and it comes to emergency care, we can't have a hierarchy like that. We got to have everybody that's willing to stand on equal ground and hold each other accountable so the patient gets what their needs are, so we can advocate what's best for them. So I think those are some of the areas that we look at. Other areas I think that are helpful are folks that are interested in how the body works, because we do a lot of pathologies, where, you know, disease processes and things of that nature. So if they're interested in that, and then someone that likes to work with their hands, that doesn't like just to sit all day, right? You know, we do lecture materials and PowerPoint presentations in our program, but we really hang our hat here at KCC with our high fidelity simulation lab. We had CARES money over COVID that we received, another $700,000 to upgrade our sim lab. We have one of the most state-of-the-art sim labs in the state for EMS education, and I would almost argue in the Midwest. But that technology allows for our students to immerse themselves into real-life situations where we can practice these things. And I always tell our students, it's okay to kill patients in our sim lab. We want to have them get it out of their system there, so they can learn and have context when they get in the field. When I graduated, we didn't have simulations. My first calls were the first time working on real life patients, and I had to learn sometimes from mistakes that happened along the way. We want to get away from that now. And the technology and the tools that we have will help our students not only gather that with those professional attributes, but for us to refine and to polish those. So when they are done, they're road ready. They're ready to treat patients where they're found, with respect, with dignity, and at the highest level of care they can.
So state-of-the-art training facility, some funds to take away, some of the cost, a stipend for extra expenses they might encounter, support as they go through the program. So you just open the doors and they come running, right? Probably not. You probably have to find them.
We still have to find them, yeah, because again, it's not for everybody. And the last thing I want to do is have a student get a grant for $15,000 and decide that, you know, a week into this, I don't like blood, or I don't like touching people, right? Uh-huh. That can be challenging. One of the things that we also have is we had a $75,000 grant, same aspect for EMTs. And that's a great place to get started. So if there's someone's not sure, you got to be an EMT to use this grant, right? So folks, if they're interested, I would say check out our EMT program. Check out our first responder program. It's a 15-week or even a 7-week program that you can take where you can see what it's like. We also offer CPR classes and first aid classes where you can dabble in it to see if you like it. And if you do, then we've got funds to help you with that. We've got grants for EMTs. We've got grants for paramedics. We just got to make sure we get the right person that's going to want to do this. Because, you know, I tell every student when we interview them for the program, there's going to come a time where you're going to feel like potentially quitting, because this is going to get hard, because it's life and death. But there's going to be a reason why you decided to do this. And that internal intrinsic reason, I don't make them tell me what that is, but I have them reflect on that, because when you feel like quitting, you need to remember why you started, because there was some calling, something has happened to you in your experience that brought you to this point that we're going to need to draw back on when times get tough. We're going to support you. We're going to give you all the resources and tools that you need to be successful. But at the end of the day, we got to have somebody that's got that grit, that fortitude to know this is something that they're interested in.
And somehow that comes out when you meet someone, you ask the right questions, and you begin to understand that.
Yeah. The big ones that we see is where a lot of folks are getting into this and they're like, you know, I'm working a 9-to-5 job in a factory, or I'm in service or sales. And, you know, it's good. It's good money, but it's not as rewarding. And they want to make an impact. And there's nothing more rewarding when someone comes up to you later on in your career and says, hey, do you remember me? Most of the time you go, no, I don't, because I see so many patients. But when they say, you saved my life, that really resonates. And that may only happen a couple times in your career. You know, oftentimes we don't save as many as we'd like to. But when that does happen, boy, that just fills you right to the brim. And it gives you so much more enthusiasm and power. EMS is a family, right? Everybody's going to be there to take care of you, to make sure you got the support you need. So it's a great career to consider.
So I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, because I want to make sure we understand this. The grant goes toward the program that takes EMTs and levels them up to paramedics. That's what really focused here.
That's correct. Yes. Now, we also have that $75,000 grant. And I want to say we still have 10 to 12 more grants for EMTs for this coming fall. So if there are folks that are interested, there's still more opportunities as well that will open up here closer as we get probably towards July in kind of a lieu of anticipation for a fall semester. But yeah, there's definitely information out there on that. And I would say if folks are interested or they want to get more information or even see what some of the videos or things about the program, check out our website at kellogg.edu/EMS. And that'll take you right to all the information about what programs are going, what applications you can apply for, what scholarships are available, how to get in contact with us. There's just a number of resources. That's a great place for students to start.
All right. And as always, we'll link that in the show notes for this episode at battlecreekpodcast.com. If you didn't catch that, didn't have a pen in your hand, or it didn't stick, you can find that there. So you've talked about young people interested in this career. You've talked about people who might be older than that, but interested in a career change. Where are most of your students coming from?
In both, actually, to be completely honest with you, Richard. The first way that we've looked at is KCC is known for being one of the, Michigan's highest school for dual enrollment, which means we've got a lot of great partnerships with our area high schools and high school counselors. In our EMS program, we offer three EMT academies, two through the Calhoun Area Career Center, which are offered here at our campus, and one through Battle Creek Central High School that's offered on their campus. They have a beautiful simulation lab. We really try to establish a pipeline of students to be able to come into this, because that was what was missing, is that there was a gap between those getting into EMT and then moving on. And the grant addressed that, but the pipeline still need to be solidified. And so we started to talk more with our partners to see what were opportunities that we could expand upon. And there was an immediate want for EMT training. High school students oftentimes are going to get into high school. They don't really know what they want to do yet. Maybe they've got lofty goals of becoming a physician, or maybe they want to be a nurse. They can kind of take a look at some of these things and see where they're at. And that is really helping us revitalize the system locally, because they're getting out, they're graduating from high school with a credential, ready for employment. They're working in the field while they continue to go to college, either to become a paramedic or maybe to move on to another career.
That's interesting. So someone might have had an aspiration to be a physician. Do you see a certain segment of paramedics move on in that direction? Or do they end up saying, you know what, this checks all my boxes?
Both. There are those that of us that have were bit by the EMS bug, like myself, and there's no way we're getting out. This is going to be where we die, but because we love what we do. Now, one thing I will say, a lot of students, and we've had several of our high school graduates go on and that are physicians now, because when you want to become a physician, when you apply to a med school or a PA school for that matter, they look at patient contact hours. Students who participate in EMT or paramedic, they're going to get a lot of time dealing with patients and be able to document that patient contact. And that will help them get into those med schools or those PA schools much easier. Hmm. So we've got that pipeline to get them in. But then there's also, the career is challenging. It's a physically demanding job. And it's not something you can do forever. I mean, your body will physically wear out over time. Now, it's getting better with technology and tools that we have. But one of the things that's also really cool here at KCC is we have a new community integrated paramedic program. And that's a step up from paramedic. And what that allows folks to do is to do more of like a visiting home healthcare as a paramedic. It's designed for rural areas to help fill in the gap within healthcare disparities, where they're going to have just, again, entire geographical areas that have just no healthcare access at all.
Yeah.
It's an extension of that. And again, it's an opportunity for them to be able to grow their skill sets. That's very new. KCC and Lansing Community College have partnered together to offer a consortium program to across the state. But it's another way in which we can retain our competent, our seasoned, our expert providers, and again, give them another way to continue to give back to the community using their skills and knowledge.
Boy, that's an interesting point that you bring up, the idea of the physical demands that the career puts on you. And naturally, as we grow older in the career, this may be more difficult.
Yeah, that's definitely it. And the thing is, folks, when you get into this career, it's a passion and you're there because you want to help. And that never goes away. But your body's going to be hard on your body, especially as you get into your 50s or 60s, things of that nature. Not that there's not paramedics out there that aren't doing a great job, that are even older than that. But it, again, we want to make sure we give an opportunity. They're so knowledgeable to just take them off the road because they are physically not able to do the same level of work. Boy, that's a loss to the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to be creative to see, again, just like with our high school program, that was a creative way of creating that pipeline. What do we do with our paramedics now? What pipeline do we have to help assist rural healthcare or the shortage in healthcare access?
Clark, someone's listening to this and they're beginning to think that maybe, or maybe they've already been thinking that this might be a career path for them, but they're not sure. What would you say to them?
So the first thing we always tell folks is come in and talk to us. Set up a time to come in where we can give you an hour-long tour of our facility. Generally, with that tour, we show you our driving simulators, our virtual reality software, our simulation lab, our mannequins, the classrooms. They get to meet the instructional staff. That almost immediately solidifies the fact that they want to come here to do their training because they get a chance to see that. And that's probably the best way of folks being able to get that experience is come in and talk to us about where you're at, because we're going to meet you halfway. We're going to see where you're at, and we're going to make sure that if this is what you want to do, we're going to line up the dominoes to help you knock them over. The other thing I would say is search for EMS on the internet, right? Check out our website. EMS.gov talks a lot about all the areas in EMS, all the different opportunities for education. There's also different information about program accreditation, outcomes, and pass rates so students can pick the best school to go to get the best bang for their buck. And then again, the state of Michigan's website, michigan.gov/EMS, will take you again to give you more information about grants and scholarships and programs, and not only here in Battle Creek, but throughout the state.
Yeah. So taking it for a test drive helps folks, but also all of that practical information as well can begin to set the right tone for someone to make up their mind.
Yeah. And a lot of times we'll do those tours when the students are doing open lab time. So that way they can have a chance to interact and discuss with the students. Because, you know, it's one, I'm going to always tell folks our program is great because I work for our program. But at the end of the day, it's the students that are going to be the ones that sell this. Our YouTube page, KCC Paramedic is the YouTube page. But there's testimonials from our high school students that talk about why they wanted to do this. And what benefits they had from it. And when we go to recruit at high schools or events, we play that because it's so much more powerful than me saying, this is great because it's good. Listen to your colleagues, listen to your friends, someone that's just like you. What did they have to say and where are they at now because of it?
We'll link that in the show notes as well so folks can have a listen. So as we started off, this is not the first time you received this grant and you want another one, right?
Yes, another workforce grant came out from the state of Michigan again. This time it's a $400,000 grant.
Okay.
And we're in the process of submitting for that as of right now. The submission is due on May 30th. And that will allow for our 26 program. And we are looking at 18 to 20 paramedic scholarships, and then 30 EMT and 30 medical first responder scholarships. So it is a very large addition. It'll take us over $1 million. I'm confident that we're going to be able to continue to receive those funding as we've demonstrated our commitment to that so far with the other three. I'm hoping we don't have any issues with this one, but more information to come as we look to accomplish that.
Yeah. So this last one was 350. This one's 400. Do they up it because they see the results of it? What's the thinking behind that?
So some of it was, to be honest, it wasn't utilized. The first round, there was just not that many folks that went for it. The second round, it increased. Third round, it's increasing more. And so we're starting to see that. The other thing that they're doing is they're refining the process a little bit, and they're starting to lump things together. So instead of just a paramedic grant and just an EMT grant and just a siloed grant, now this one is all inclusive. So you can kind of pick and choose what works best for your agency. Now, the grant's still open for this one, and I'll give a plug for it, because if there's any EMS employers that are out there listening to this, and I'm sure there probably are here in Battle Creek, I would encourage them to apply for this grant as well, because not only can we can get the money to pay for the tuition, mm-hmm. the grant also will pay for students' wages to attend the program. And so that's a big deal. And I want to say, don't quote me, but I believe it's up to $16,000 in pay that a student can get as well. So there's a benefit of employers and educational schools all partnering together to make this happen. And we've got a great relationship with our employers. We have 100% employment rate with our paramedic graduates. Every student, every year, has a job typically before they graduate.
Well, I can imagine that would be the case. That's interesting, though, as an angle to try and help stimulate interest in moving up, adding to certifications, leveling up, I guess is what I was trying to think of, by including the employer part in it.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, to make an occupational program like EMS really be robust and be a vital aspect of the EMS system, we have to make sure that we're in close contact with our agency partners. KCC is also the fiduciary for the Calhoun County Medical Control Authority, which is the board that oversees all EMS providers. So we're really well established within the community. And that helps. I mean, that helps us when they need people, they come to us to help fix that. So, you know, come up with a solution so we can work together. Because at the end of the day, if I call 911 tonight, I want to make sure I'm going to get somebody that's going to be able to help me and my family just as much as anyone else would.
Yeah, well, this is a tremendous resource we have right here in Calhoun County at Kellogg Community College. If you're thinking about a career in emergency medical response, or you're already in it and you're thinking about leveling up, boy, this is an opportunity worth considering. So think about that. Check out the resources, battlecreekpodcast.com, in the show notes. Click through and listen and read and watch. And maybe get in touch with Clark Imus at KCC to talk a little bit more about this. Congratulations, Clark, on all the progress you've made and the vision you have going forward.
Thank you, Richard. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be able to share our great news.
Clark Imus on Community Matters.